When you're 10 years of age, you stand on top of a mountain. When you are 20 years of age, you stand on top of a mountain. And then when you're 30, you stand on top of a different mountain, and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 and 90 and 100. And every time a decade goes by, you stand on a different mountain than you did the previous decade. And in those 10 years, there have been so many circumstances that have happened in your life. And maybe as a 10-year-old, you know your need for a divine helper. And maybe when you're 20, you know your need for a divine helper. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. When did it happen in your life that you knew you needed what the video says is a divine helper? How long did it take you? How many circumstances? How many years? I apologize because all during this week, including when we sang the hymn yet again, I was intending to look at the history of that hymn to see what was going on in Edward's life when he wrote that hymn. There had to have been some hope that he had, some hope for his child, some hope for his church, some hope for his country. There had to have been some hope going on in that man's life. And all of a sudden, the hope was shattered. And maybe it happened a second time and a third time and a fourth time. Maybe he kept bumping into things he had hoped would happen, and they didn't. And then he writes a poem that turns into a hymn. And that poem and that hymn is therapy for himself. And he reads it over and over and over again, and he reads it to his wife, and then he presents it to his congregation. And somehow or other, God makes sure that that hymn gets into the pages of not just our hymn book, but the Methodist hymn book and the Presbyterian and the Baptist. It's in all of the denominations' hymn books. My hope is built not on things that I can see. My hope is not built on things that my skill will bring to me, my connections will bring to me. My hope I have learned, is based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And all of a sudden, when your hope is in Jesus, connected with Him somehow, all of a sudden your hope is not hope any longer. It is trust. Your hope has evolved into something so powerful that no circumstance you'll ever bump into will be able to shatter it. Your hope has evolved into trust in the Lord God Almighty. I look at that psalm that we had just now. How many psalms of David, 70, 80% of them, how many psalms of David started out depressing? I'd hoped that my enemies wouldn't come against me, but they have. I had hoped that the thing with Bathsheba and Uriah would never have happened, but it did. I had hoped that my son Absalom would precede me to the throne, but he turned against me. You look at 70% of the Psalms that David wrote, and they start out, my hope was in this, and that hope has been shattered. But every single one of his Psalms end the same way. My hope might be gone, but my trust shall remain forever in the Lord God Almighty. You look at the 23rd Psalm, it is a psalm of absolute trust. He starts out by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. That is my trust, not my hope. He doesn't say, I hope the Lord is my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Though I might hope in a certain direction, those pastures can turn brown. Though I might hope in a certain direction, those calm waters can become raging in an instant. Though I might wake up in the morning kind of at peace with God, all of a sudden there's turmoil in my soul, and He restores peace to it. Many a theologian believe that might be the last psalm He ever wrote. Some are courageous enough to say He wrote it within the last month of His life. He had all of those decades. If He passed away at age 72, He has all of those decades having gone by in which He stood at the top of some mountain and He realized He needed a divine helper. And that divine helper was the Lord God Almighty, the one who was His shepherd, the one who anointed His head with oil. David's trust in God. There are many a story in the Bible in which people had hope, and the hope was dashed. And one story after another in the Bible, when their hope was dashed, somehow or other God led them along the path called trust. This week's theme, guided to the cross, guided to trust. What's the difference between hope and trust? Hope is ephemeral. It changes like the wind. You have a hope in a certain direction, and the wind blows, sometimes due to your own miscalculations, and sometimes just from out of nowhere. You and I have certain hopes. So did the people in the Bible. Abraham has a son, Isaac. When he's 75 years of age, God says, "Leave your inheritance, follow me." And he says, "Abraham, if you trust me," that's the word he uses, "if you trust me in this, I will give you descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens. And all nations on this earth will be blessed through you. If you trust me." And Abraham trusts God and he follows him. 24 years have gone by. Now he's 99 years of age. And he says to God in so many words, "I'm beginning to lose my hope." He doesn't say trust. "I'm beginning to lose my hope in you, God. I'm 99. My wife's 90. We have no children." God says, "Step outside your tent. Look up, Abraham. What do you see?" Abraham says, "I see stars." God says, "Count the stars." Abraham says, "That's not possible." God said, "Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the heaven." And Abraham's hope returns to him. It is 1 year later, he's 100 years of age, Isaac comes. And when Isaac is 12 years of age, God said to Abraham, "Go to Mount Moriah, sacrifice your son." And I'm sure Abraham said more than once, "What did you say, God? My hearing's not as good as it used to be at age 112. What did you say, God?" And God says, "Sacrifice your son." And Abraham, though he didn't verbalize it in the Bible, Abraham was thinking, "I had hoped that he would be the blessing of all mankind. So you promised. I had hoped that this is what Isaac would be." Abraham is one of the most important people in human history. The three major monotheistic religions, they all looked to Abraham as their father. The Israelites, the Christians, through Isaac. The Muslims, through Ishmael, his offspring by Hagar. And the Jews, they're the ones who said to Jesus, "Abraham is our father, we've got it made." Abraham's hope in Isaac is shattered by God's comments, "Sacrifice him." But his trust never wavered. Hope is ephemeral. Jeremiah 9:23, "Do not put your hope in your riches, Do not let the wise man put his hope in his wisdom. And do not let the strong man put his hope in his strength. Let him who hopes trust in this, that I, the Lord God Almighty, are known by you. And if I am known by you, your trust is in a solid foundation. Difference between hope and trust. Hope can be shattered, it is all the time, unless it is in Him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And if your hope is in Him, it cannot be shattered. Because the difference between hope and trust is this. Trust is put in someone who has proven reliable and strong and loving and wise. And who else in our life except God Himself? Moses had hoped that he would be the redemption of Israel. Pick up my sword, kill the Egyptian. Hope is shattered. 40 years on the backside of the desert. Until his trust replaces his hope, his trust is in the Lord God Almighty. And after negotiations, he's leading the Israelites out of Egypt, trusting that he stands in front of Pharaoh, the mightiest ruler in the world, and that he has God. How does a 15-year-old boy named David go against a 9-foot-tall giant called Goliath? Not hope. Not hope. If it's hope that he has, as soon as he sees the giant, the hope is gone. It's not hope, it's trust. And when the giant blasphemes God's name, David says to him as a 15-year-old boy, he says, you come against me with that javelin as big as a pine tree. I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. The trust. Irony with Abraham is this. He had hoped Isaac, but when God says, sacrifice your son, he's willing to do it. Why? Because he trusts in God. How do we know he trusted in God? Because of what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. The author of Hebrews said Abraham so trusted in God that he believed that if he had taken his son's life, God could have raised him from the dead. Hope and trust. His name was Jairus. He had hoped that when he went to Jesus with his daughter nigh unto death, that Jesus would come immediately, that Jesus would touch Jairus' daughter and she would live. His hope is shattered when the servants come and say, your daughter's already dead. Do not trouble Jesus any longer. And Jesus, when he speaks to Jairus, all of a sudden he tells Jairus, here's the difference between your hope and trust in me. He said to Jairus, stop doubting, only believe. And your daughter shall be made whole. The difference between hope and trust is the difference between night and day. His name was Elijah. Standing on that mountain, Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18. 850 prophets of Ashtoreth and Baal stand against him. And by the end of that day, he will be dead. But he has a hope. And that hope is a trust in the Lord God Almighty. And after 8 hours have gone by, the divine fire comes down, burns up the sacrifice, the stones, and the dirt itself. And the 850 prophets of Ashtoreth and Baal, they are dead and gone. And Elijah, his hope has been satisfied. His head is now in the clouds. He expects for the next 20 years of his ministry that there will be no enemies that come against him. He has defeated the great enemy, Ashtoreth Baal. Within 24 hours, he is hiding in the desert. He says, God, take my life. Because Jezebel shattered his hope. Jezebel said, you'll be as dead as my priest before 24 hours has gone by. He goes out into the desert. God makes him sit, not 40 years like he did Moses. He makes him sit for 40 days. And then he says to Elijah, an angel has fed you. Go now to Mount Horeb, and I will meet you there. And when he's on Mount Horeb, there's a giant tornado, tears the mountain apart. And Elijah says, you're not in the storm. And then there's a fire, and it burns the mountain apart. And Elijah says, you're not in the fire. And then there is a gentle, quiet breeze. And Elijah says, that's you, God. And with that encounter, he learns the difference between hope and trust. In that encounter, his trust in God becomes so strong that it will never fail him again. Job. Bible says he's the richest man in the East. 10 children, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, servants and buildings beyond number. He was such a righteous man that he would have a sacrifice in the morning lest his children had sinned during the night. And in one day, the tornado comes, 10 children die. And the same day, the Chaldeans and Sabians kill all his servants, burn all his buildings. In one day, everything's gone. Job was so unique that though his hope was shattered, it says in the last verse of that first chapter, he did not sin in anger against God. He did not hold it against God. He trusted God. Sometimes our hopes are inconsequential. I'd hope that my team would win the Super Bowl. I'd hope that the pews were a different color. Sometimes they are inconsequential. I'd hope that the family reunion last June, I had hoped that the weather would be perfect and it rained for 3 consecutive days. Sometimes our hopes are inconsequential. But I'm glad it rained 3 consecutive days because we were all in the cabins and we were playing games and it was the best get-together we ever had. Sometimes hopes are inconsequential. Sometimes they're indescribable. After John passed, for the next 7, 8, 9 years, whenever I did a wedding, I smiled on the outside and wept on the inside. Because I'd always hoped that it was Jonathan walking down that aisle. And when Josh and Rachel got married, I can't describe what that meant. And when the grandchildren came and through them, I can't describe what that meant. You guys, for 36 years, you've preached sermons to Pastor Schauer and myself. You do it all the time. You ask Pastor Schauer to come, or you ask me to come when some event is happening in your life where your hope has been shattered. The marriage, I don't think it's going to continue. I think it's going to come to an end. My son's just been diagnosed with cancer. My wife just died. Can you come right away? Pastor Schauer and I come all the time. Not when your days are good, usually, but when your days have been visited by something that has destroyed all hope. And when we come and stand in your house, we see that though your hope has been destroyed, your trust has not. And the number of sermons that Pastor Schauer and I have received from your lives, I can't begin to describe it. Keith, that Christmas Eve, 7 or 8 years ago, he's sitting here on Christmas Eve, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. The number of times Pastor Schauer and I do funerals and we see you sitting in church 3 days later. Do not let the wise man put his trust and hope in his wisdom, or the strong man in his strength, or the rich man in his wealth. Let him who dares to hope on this earth put their trust in the Lord God Almighty. For hope can be shattered, but trust cannot. You need but look at the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you need but look at the empty tomb 3 days later. Your trust in that divine presence, the Lord God Almighty, His Son Jesus Christ, that trust cannot be shattered. Romans 8:38. It doesn't say I hope. It says nothing will separate me from the love of God. Not life, not death, not angels, not demons. Romans 8:28. It does not say I hope all things work together for good. Romans 8:28, I know that all things work together for good to those who trust in God. The beauty of Psalm 39:7, and now, O Lord, for what do I wait? It doesn't matter what I wait for. It doesn't matter how it turns out, because my hope is in you, Lord. My hope has transformed into trust in you, Lord. I will not be dismayed and I'll not be afraid. Job 13:15, though God slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Psalm 28:7, the Lord God Almighty is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart shall always trust, and my heart shall then be at peace and it rejoices. Psalm 37:5, commit your ways, commit what you hope for to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Psalm 112:7, He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, for he trusts in God. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace, O Lord, the one whose mind is fixed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. And do not lean on your own understanding. I'm walking home from church last night through the back way. And there on the wall by the classroom, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. And I said, thank you, God. The timing was perfect. Your hope is based on what? My athletic skill is going to get me to scholarship. My intelligence is going to get me into the U of I. My charisma is going to get me elected to that position. My connections, because of who I am, will get me higher up the ladder. That is hope ready to be shattered. If it was the case that no matter what direction your hope went, You were at peace. Why would that be? Because your trust was in Him, the Lord God Almighty, in whose powerful name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord, there it sits. I could have read 200 verses this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean upon your own understanding, and He will give you peace. May it be so in my life, Connie, Josh, Rachel, the grandchildren, and may it be in the lives of these dear people here at Trinity or those listening online. Keep us close to You, Lord, because we trust in You. In His name, amen.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.